30 years and go down the road from Nazareth, about a little over four miles, to a town called Cana. And you'll find the next snapshot of Mary's faith at the wedding. It's recorded for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Look at the first two verses of this chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." You know the story. They ran out of wine. A feast at a wedding could go anywhere up to 7 days at a Jewish wedding, depending on how prosperous the family was. To run out of wine would have been a social embarrassment to whoever was hosting the wedding feast. And immediately, Mary turns to Jesus, and there's this awkward exchange between Mary and Jesus. She turns to him and says, "They're out of wine," and he replies, if you look at verse 4, here's my translation, that's not my problem. That was his reply. Not my problem. What I want you to see is not this awkward exchange. And by the way, commentators have tried to explain this exchange in the words of Jesus in a variety of ways, and I've read four or five different explanations. I'm not going to go there today, because here's what I want you to see. I want you to see what Mary says then in verse 5. "And his mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says, do it.'" We're out of wine. Not my problem. Just do what he says. You see, Mary knew who Jesus was. I heard this week on the radio as I was driving a well-known pastor who I have immense respect for talk about this passage, and he said Mary really didn't understand who Jesus was. I don't buy into that, with all due respect. He's much better than I am and much smarter than I am, so you can go with him. You'll be probably better off. But I don't think that's the case. Listen, she had stored up the words in her heart about who the shepherd said he was and who the shepherds told everyone he was. They told everyone he was a Savior who had been born in Bethlehem, and the Bible says she stored that up in her heart. I'm sure she also remembered the words of old Simeon as they took him on the eighth day to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, when he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, the glory of your people." Those are messianic words. This one, Simeon says, is the glory of you. This is the Messiah. I'm sure she remembered the words of the old prophetess Anna, who told everyone that he was the one they have been looking for, the one they have been waiting for, the one they have been longing for. Who was it? The Messiah. No one else. This one, do whatever he says, is the creator of the universe. And if he can create the universe out of nothing, he can take care of your problem out of wine. Whatever he says, just do it. That's faith. She knew who he was. She knew what he could do. Faith believes even in the impossible times. Mary was a woman of great faith. The final picture that we have of Mary's faith is at the crucifixion. Turn over to John chapter 19 now. In John 19 and verse 25, we read these words. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene." Now I take that as four different women. Mary, the mother of Christ, Mary's sister, who's not named, then Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Mary must have been a real popular name in Israel. When I go to Haiti, if I don't know someone's name, I just call them John, because everybody is John. Same in Israel. Just if you don't know a woman's name, just call her Mary. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. While the other gospel writers picture the women who followed Jesus as standing afar off or standing at a distance, it's interesting that none of them include the mother of Jesus in that group standing afar off or standing at a distance. John says she is standing close enough to the cross that she could hear his words. It says she stood by the cross. I checked it in Greek. It means the same thing in English as it does in Greek. It means the same thing in Greek as it does in English. She stood near the cross. She was close to Jesus. When most of his other followers had disassociated themselves from Jesus, here are these four women and the disciple John standing close enough to have a conversation. How close do you have to be if someone's hanging 12 or 14 feet up on a cross? How close do you have to be to hear those words that are choked by the dryness of a throat, the dying gasp of a man? She was near him. You know what that says to me? She openly and bravely associated herself with him. Listen, this was an exceptionally brave thing to do. I'm with him. I'm with the ones who followed this traitor, this one being crucified. I'm with him. Right to the end. Faith remains, no matter the cost. Mary was a woman of great faith. Every time we see this little vignette of Mary, she is expressing her faith. Not only was Mary a woman of great faith, she was also a woman of great love. Faith shows her spiritual character. Love shows her mother's heart. There is something special about a mother's love for her child. There's a special bond between a mother and her child. Even secular people have commented on this often. Go back to the 9 months that mother has carried that child and that bond that has developed between them. Some of you here today are young adults. Some of you are old adults. Some of you are really old adults. But to the young adults, let me say this. No matter how old you get, you will always be her child. Somehow, speaking as a father, and I have three adult children, I have grandchildren. And I look on my children, they're adults. A mother looks on them as they're my child. You will always be her child. Don't fight it. Just give in to it. Always. Right, ladies? It's interesting that the Bible never says that Mary loved Jesus. You won't find it. Never says that. You would expect it, but you won't find it. But no one has to tell you that a mother loves her son. And Mary was no different from any other mother, except this. Don't miss it. She not only loved him like a son, she loved him like a savior. The love in that woman's heart for her son was over the top. Listen, we don't talk a lot about Mary in our circles because the Catholics have turned Mary into an icon, and in some Catholic circles, they even refer to her as the co-redemptionist, the one who brings redemption along with Jesus. And we say they've gone over the top, and they have. They've gone over the top, but we have gone the other way, and we have sinned by going the other way, and we never talk about Mary, and we never talk about how important she is, and we never talk about how important she is in the whole plan of salvation as the mother of Jesus. Her love for Jesus is not seen so much in the words of Scripture. And we're a people of the book. Our church is Schuylkill Valley Bible Chapel. And whenever I preach and I don't bring in a lot of Scripture, we all get nervous. But let me do that just a little bit this morning. I think you'll understand. Her love for Jesus is not seen so much in the words of Scripture as in the pictures of Scripture. The words of Scripture paint pictures for us. She is pictured in the Bible as being with Jesus at every significant point in his story. The life of Jesus unfolds in three basic parts. There is his birth, there is his ministry, and there is his death. And at every step along the way, Mary is there. Obviously, she's there at his birth. But she's also there at his ministry. She's there at his death. Let me show this to you. First, at his birth, back in Luke chapter 2. And verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days," another great Christmas passage, "it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Her firstborn. The scene that we're given is tender if brief. He is born. And with tender, caring hands, she wraps him in the only thing that's available, cloth that normally is used for a funeral. And she wraps her baby and she lays him perhaps in a bed of hay. She was there at his birth. Lovingly taking care of her child. Can you imagine, ladies, nursing your firstborn child and knowing that you're holding the Son of God? She was there with him during his ministry. Now, there were times that Mary is not recorded as being with Jesus as he traveled throughout his ministry. I'm sure there were times she was not with him, but there were times that she was. After he turned the water into wine in John chapter 2, and that's where we're going, in John chapter 2, after he turned the water into wine at the marriage in Cana, look at verse 12. It says, after this, after the wedding in Cana, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, but they did not stay there many days. Just a little geography lesson for you. When we say we're going down, normally we think we're going south. If we're going to go to Maine from Pennsylvania, we say we're going up. They say they're going down. Capernaum is north and a little bit over to the east because Nazareth is on top of a mountain. And they're going down to sea level and around to Capernaum. I had the opportunity to be in both of those places. Nazareth today is a thriving city. Capernaum is just a bunch of old rocks. Just an archaeological site, but very interesting. After he turns water into wine at the marriage of Cana, he goes to Capernaum and he takes his mother and his disciples with him. Now, Capernaum is the hometown of Peter and James and John and Andrew. They were fishermen. She was there. The third area of his life was his death, and she was there. Again, going back to John 19, let me reread for you verses that we've already read. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that was a reference to John in his gospel, which he wrote here. John never refers to himself by name. He always refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the disciple whom he loved, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. The love that Jesus has for his mother is evident. He made sure that she was taken care of. The way that Joseph disappears from the gospel stories early on in the gospels, he's never mentioned later in the gospel, suggests that perhaps he died at some point when Jesus was growing up. And if that's the case, as the oldest son, it would have been his responsibility to take care of his mother. And he did that even at the end of his life. His love for Mary shows her love for him. True love is a reciprocal relationship. Sometimes it can get one-sided, but true love, real love, is reciprocal in nature. In her position near the cross, at the cross, shows the extent of her love. She was there. Although the Bible does not emphasize Mary's love the way we would have if we had been writing this story, it is still there, not in words, but in pictures, in her presence. One of the missionaries that we work with in Haiti has for years talked about the ministry of presence. In ministering to people in third world countries, our presence is more important than our projects. As Americans, we want to go to some poor, disadvantaged country and we want to build a house, we want to build a church, we want to do something. Let me let you in a little secret. They appreciate whatever you can do, but you don't have to do anything. just be there. The ministry of presence. They need to know that they are not alone, that in their struggles they have not been forgotten. Mary was present. More so than many of the followers of Jesus. She was a woman of great love. Mary was a woman of great faith and a woman of great love. And ladies, you can be too. You can be a daughter of Mary. By living with great faith and by living with great love. And that is my prayer for you this morning, ladies. If I could give you anything, it would be that you would be a woman of great faith and a woman of great love. And I know that that is what your husbands would like you to be. And that is what I would like you to be. And that's what God wants you to be. And I want to pray for you as we close out this morning that God will help you to be that kind of a woman. We're not beating on you today and saying, you must be like Mary. Why aren't you like Mary? No, we're not doing that at all. We're holding her up as an example for all of us, really, but for our ladies this morning. Here's an example. With all that Mary went through, with all the struggle, with all the heartache, with all of the loss that she went through, this is the kind of woman she was, and this is the kind of woman you can be no matter what is going on in your life. Let me pray for you, ladies. Father, thank you for the ladies that you have put in our lives. Thank you for the ladies that you have put into our church. And our prayer for them is that they will be ladies of great faith, trusting you even in the hard times of life. And that they will be women of great love, loving God with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their mind, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. Loving us, their neighbors, in the same way. Bless our ladies today. Comfort them where they are hurting. Encourage them where they are discouraged. Raise them up where they feel broken down. Bless them as only you can bless. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.